Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Last week we started a series, it's just a two-part series that I called A New Season. And we looked at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 3. We looked at the Moses generation, and we saw that a Moses season is a season of learning obedience and trusting God, working with God in discipleship, learning his laws, walking in prayer, walking in worship. And if you haven't listened to the song, to the sermon, it's on our podcast. Please just go to our website, and then at the bottom there, you will find the podcast plus other sermons that have gone before that, and you will be blessed. So today we are moving on to the Joshua season. So when Joshua season takes stage, there is a paradigm shift. And we see, like I said last week, the message is very simple, that we are coming out of the wilderness. We are coming from a place of just knowing the promises of God to entering into a season of actually taking possession. May the Lord bless those who are saying amen. Now, it is a season that is characterized by a number of things that I will expound this morning. Number one, it is a season of willingness and obedience. A season of willingness and obedience. So we find the instructions that God gives Joshua, and it is a situation whereby God is saying, my servant Moses is dead, arise and go over Jordan and take over the land. And that word there, arise, has the meaning to move forward to your purpose, to move forward to your goal. Now remember, every time the Lord says something or gives you an instruction, most of the time it is because the instruction is contrary or antithetical to your present situation. The Lord would never tell you to arise if you are already in that posture. He would never tell you to stand up if you are already standing up. So God is instructing us as individuals and as a congregation. It is a time to arise and start moving towards our purposes, to start moving towards our goals, to start moving towards our desire, to start moving towards those things that we have been believing God for. Hallelujah. And it is a season where we have to obey whatever God commands us to do. Now, when you cooperate with God, you realize that most of the time, if not most of them, all the time, your success is dependent on your obedience to divine instructions. God says it, you hear it, you conceive it, you believe it, you obey, and then God does it for you and you see the results thereof. So it is a season to be passionate about pursuing the word of God and seeing it being fulfilled in our lives. It is about believing God and acting accordingly. Now, you find that in the book of Joshua, there are lots of instructions given. There is a lot of action, but also a lot of accomplishments. Because when you obey divine instructions, then you start experiencing divine outcomes. Let me repeat that. When you obey divine instructions, you start experiencing divine outcomes. Do you remember in the book of John chapter 2 and verse 5 in the Cana of Galilee, the mother of Jesus, Mary, says to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So the miracle at Cana of Galilee depended so much so on the obedience of the servants to the words of Jesus. So when Jesus comes to them and says, fill the jars with water, they obey. Then he says, draw out some and take to the leader of the banquet. And they drew some and they took to the leader of the banquet. And the miracle had already happened. So the miracle was dependent on the obedience of the servants. Could it be that some of us are not experiencing miracles in our lives and breakthroughs because we are not obeying the instructions that God has already given us? I want to say something very radical here. That I have come to observe from the word of God, that God will never give us fresh instructions. God will never lead us beyond our act of disobedience. Hello, it's gone quiet now. I'm not calling people disobedient. But let me give you an example. In the book of Genesis, God appears to Jacob and says to him, arise and go back to Bethel where I revealed myself to you. Now, Jacob rises up and begins to go back to Bethel. But somewhere along the way, he comes to a place called Shechem and he dwells there. And we know the story of what happened. A lot of bad things happened, including the daughter being sexually defiled and the brothers taking revenge. It was all bloody and very messy. And then when God comes to Jacob, he does not condole with him. He does not comfort him. He does not encourage him. He repeats the same instructions. Arise and go back to Bethel. That teaches me when God gives you divine instructions, then you pause and linger for a moment. Some things might happen to you or in your life, but when God comes back to you, he will repeat the instructions he gave you. Because partial obedience is total disobedience. In fact, I dare say by the word of God that delayed obedience is disobedience. So God requires that we act swiftly when he speaks so that we can experience the outcomes he wants us to experience in our lives. Now, he says, get up and possess the land. Start doing something. Start pursuing the promises. It is a time to possess your inheritance. Move forward in faith and obedience so that you can begin experiencing my blessings. Now, I'm going to read some words and I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1. And I will start from, I don't know which verse I gave Steve. There we go. So he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. So he says, now, therefore, arise. Change your situation. Change your circumstances. And what he is doing, he is calling him to cooperate with him so that he can begin to see his wonders. Now, next verse. Go to the next verse. And he says, let's skip that. Let's go to... Yeah, there we go. Be strong and of good courage. Only be strong and very courageous, and be strong and of good courage. Now, the most important thing to understand here is that when God gives you some command or when God gives you some instructions, like I said, they might be contrary to whatever situation you are going through. And I remember, especially, allow me to say this, when we were in the prayer meeting on Friday, we received some frantic message for us to pray for somebody. And these are the words we were given, that so-and-so is dying. And we got together to pray. And when we got together to pray, what we were praying for or what we were praying against is that situation that was happening at that particular moment. And we were praying for a divine reversal. We were praying for an outcome contrary to what we can see in the natural. So God says to Joshua, because I am about to lead the nation of Israel into a land where there are giants, a land that has people who are more experienced in battle than you, a land that has people who are greater in number than you, what I need you to do is to be strong and to be courageous. Tell your neighbor, be strong and be courageous. Why? Because the presence of God is all you need if you're acting in obedience. He says, be strong and very courageous. God does not repeat himself unless it is for emphasis or unless you never heard it the first time. I normally say that God is not chatty. God is not talkative. So when he repeats an instruction, we know it is to emphasize a point, or it is because his voice was never heeded the first point. And he is telling Joshua, you are about to lead these people, be strong. You are about to possess a land that is so big, that has so many enemies, that has many fighters. You gotta be strong. I know the people you have are not experienced in battle. In fact, even Joshua, although we see him fighting, he was not a career fighter. We just see a person who is just coming into the scene after being so close to Moses. And he says, be strong, be courageous, because I am about to work with you. So therefore then, this is a command and a promise. But the most important thing to understand here is that it is all about God. As you can see, in the next few verses you're going to read, the instructions that Joshua is given by God, God is talking in what you call first person pronouns. He says, I, God, I promise the land. I will give you this land. Moses, my servant, is dead. So he is saying, this is about me. The mighty miracles you saw in Egypt and the things you saw in the wilderness were not so much dependent on the man of God, Moses, but they were dependent on the God who was doing it through the man. And he says, as I was with Moses, I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. So what God is saying here is that your strength and your courage is drawn from the abiding presence of God. Amen. Let me repeat that. Your courage, your strength is drawn from the presence of God. Because if you look at your present circumstances, you're going to say, this cannot happen. If you look at your past and you look at where you are coming from, you say, how can God hack it through me? Amos, the prophet, says, I was not a prophet. I was not a son of a prophet. But God came to me and said to me, prophesy. So it is all about God. Hello? It's all about God. Let me show you something. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. The Bible says, do not fear. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do you see that? I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. And verse 13 says, for I, the Lord, your God, keep hold of your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So God says, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will fight for you. I will conquer for you. In fact, he says through Jehoshaphat, and he speaks to Jehoshaphat, and he says that the battle belongs to the Lord. All you have to do is to take your position, for the Lord will fight your battles. And if you look at the season of Joshua, it is a season of supernatural victories. You read through the book of Joshua and you see how the nation of Israel won the battles. Some of it was beyond human explanation. It is because God was fighting for them. It is his battle. It is his purpose. It is his situation. And all that I have to do is to yield myself to him, to surrender to him, and say, Lord, not I, but you, O God. He says, I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. I will fight for you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless those who are saying amen. So our confidence is in the nature and in the character of God. Knowing that God cannot lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. So every accomplishment was through him. Verse 15 of that same Isaiah chapter 41. He says, because I have made you into a sharp tool in my hands. Can you just imagine? God is saying, I will do great things. I want to make wonderful deeds in your family, in your workplace, in the city where we live, in the town where we live. But he says, it is because you are a tool in my hand. I don't know how many of us here are people who work with tools. Can the tool ever say to the master that it is not you, it is me? Maybe a carpenter has a very good hammer and has a very good saw. And when the saw is having a quiet time in the shed with the hammer and say, did you see how I cut that timber? And it's not about the saw. It's not about the tool. It's about the tool's master. It is how he wields his tool. And the verse 15 says that you are like a sledgehammer. You are like, you are a sharp instrument in God's hand. So it is God. In fact, the Bible says you are like the battle axe in the hands of God. So wherever God's want to swing, you swing. Whatever God's want you to cut, you cut. It's all about Him. Be strong and be courageous. Therefore then, the key is to trust in God no matter what your fears are. You can trust Him because He loves you. You can depend on Him because He is greater than anything you have ever faced or you will ever face. The Bible says that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Praise the name of the Lord. The late Dr. Billy Graham, the mighty evangelist, said that courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Well, that is to say, God was saying to Joshua, I need you to stand and be strong. Because you're the one who's going to lead these people to possessing their land. And God is saying to somebody here today, you might be the only born-again person in your family, but I will use you to make a triumphal entry into your family. Amen. You might be the only Christian in your workplace, but I have set you there for such a time as this. I will use you to bring a triumphal entry in your workplace. You might be the only saved person in your neighborhood. Like yesterday, we went out witnessing and some people didn't even want to look at us. But God is saying, I will use you. I have positioned you there for such a time as this. And there is not a better moment for the light to shine than when the darkness is darkest. Is that good English? When it is really, really dark, that is the moment light shines. You see, light does not debate and argue with darkness. All that the light does is to shine. And the Bible says, when the light shines, the darkness flees. It does not walk away. It runs away. It flees. And I perceive that God has positioned us for such a time as this, as the light, as the lamp, as the salt of the earth, so that we may do His works. Can you lift up your hands and say, I'm a tool in the hands of a mighty God? Praise the name of the Lord. So we were saying that God is saying that be strong and be courageous. And we've seen that He says that I, me, my, mine, it's my purpose, it's me doing this. I am in the detail. It's not so much about you, but I am the Lord your God. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And so we've seen that God is interested in us responding in this season with obedience. And what we see is that we cannot move forward with God unless we walk by faith. We cannot move from the seasons we are in right now to where God wants to take us unless and until we walk by faith. And we begin to experience the blessings of God when we begin to obey and act on the word of God. And if you study the book of Joshua, you will come to realize that it's just a book of obedience. God says, man hears, man does, God does. God says, man hears, man does, God does. And obeying divine instructions, like I said, guarantees divine success. It guarantees divine outcomes. Let me give you an example. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. I had the scripture on my slides. I think it was the first or second one. Mark 15, 16. The Bible says, and He said to them, that's Jesus, that's a great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel into every creature. Let me just pause there for a moment. I've just remembered a very funny incident the other day. A woman telling me that she found her daughter, I think her 7-year-old daughter, in the bathtub with their dog. And the dog was submerged in the water and then brought out. And she was like, what are you doing? She was like, mommy, everyone in this family is a Christian, right? Yeah. So even our dog is a Christian, right? Yeah, I've just baptized him. She told me that and I thought it was so funny. And then the lady, she's a pastor somewhere in Kent. She was like, I couldn't argue with that. Because the Great Commission says, preach the gospel to every creature. So it's like, okay, so it's a dog in my house. It's a creature in my house. So my daughter has preached to it and, you know, baptized the creature. Anyway, he said, go to them, go into all the world, that's verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 20, the Bible says, and they went out and preached everywhere. You see the obedience part now? And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, notice that Jesus gives a commission. He gives a divine instructions. Go out and preach. Verse 20, the Bible says they go out and preach. Then guess what happens? When they obey the divine instructions, go ye and preach. Verse 20 says, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. God works with people who are obedient. God co-works with people who are acting on his word. And the Bible says, and confirming the word. So he gives them an instruction to preach the word. So God confirms his word. And the Bible says with the signs accompanying it. Now that brings me to my third point, that this season is a season of becoming a people of the word. A people of the word. Joshua 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Look at that. So a few things here. Now God moves from I, first person pronoun, from I, me, myself, my, mine. Now he comes to you. And he says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now I want you to understand, when Joshua comes into the scene, there is no Bible. The only writings he has is the book of the law from Moses. And he says, this book shall not depart from your mouth. I'm going to come to that in just a short moment. Your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. I want you to notice here, God is not saying that I will make you prosperous. He's saying you will make your way prosperous. Why? Because prosperity is in the spoken word of God. Prosperity is in the decreed word of God. So when you live the word of God, when you act on the word of God, when you speak the word of God, when you meditate on the word of God, then you are working out what is in the word of God. You are creating that which is in the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is living and active. So when you speak the word of God is alive. It is able to bring life to situations. The word of God is active, which means it is able to perform. It is able to act. Are we still together so far? And the word of God says that his word will not return to him void. It must accomplish the purpose for which it was sent forth for. So therefore, God is saying, you will make your way prosperous if you act on my word. And he says, and then you will have good success. So success comes from obeying and living according to the word of God. Success is not what Hollywood wants us to believe. You know, I don't know how my wife lives, but my wife is not on social media. She's not on Facebook. She's not on Twitter. She's on all, I don't know. I'm on Facebook. I actually used to be so active on Facebook. Somebody told me, you better buy Facebook shares so that when you're on Facebook, you're at work. Don't worry. Some of you will catch the joke home. On your way home. But there is so much in terms of success defined, I'm talking about success, defined by social media, defined by mainstream media. You are not successful if you don't look like this and like that. If you're a young man, you're tall, you're all that, you have a six pack, not like a one pack like mine, you know. You are not successful unless you're driving a Tesla, the latest electric model. You're not successful if you're not living in your own five-bedroom, own compound kind of a house. And all these. The world would want to shape and mold success in our minds. But God is saying that true success is found in you obeying my word. Because when you obey my word, then you create the success that I intended for you. So in the eyes of men, I might not look successful, but in the eyes of God, I am successful. Amen. Are we still so together so far? So we see now, you and you are here is now God saying, once you walk in obedience, you co-work with me to create the situations I need you to create. You are my ambassador. I am positioning you there as a my point person that you may do and accomplish my purposes. I like saying this, when you speak the word of God, the heavens are backing you up from heaven. There are some situations you're going to find yourself in and you will say, in the name of Jesus, this will not happen anymore. Amen. You say, this far and not any further. Because you are speaking as one speaking from above. The Bible says, who is that who has my word in their mouth? Let them speak it. Because God is waiting to confirm the word. Jeremiah chapter 20 says that because of your word, Lord, I have been hated and I have been despised. But he says, but if I say I will not speak your word inside of me is like a fire and I cannot contain it and I have to release it. Obeying and walking in accordance with the word of God. So God is telling us that you have to do your part for you to see the success you are looking for. You have to believe what I have told you to believe. You have to do what I've told you to do. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says, when you do everything based on my word, then you will flourish. I pray that God will make us a church that is not just a church that is walking on the edges and the peripherals of success, but that is flourishing in success. Amen. And when I say success, I'm talking about spiritual success. A church that is prospered in their soul, in their spirit, in the physical life of things on this earth, that we are not just existing, but we are flourishing wherever God has planted us. The Bible says, go ye and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. And he says, bear fruit, much fruit. So it is the intention of God that we flourish in whatever we are doing. Can you just say, I will flourish in whatever I'm doing? So therefore then, God's prescription for success and accomplishment to Joshua, and what is the same to us today, is his word. It is not philosophy. It is not the ideas of men. In fact, if you look in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Greeks are always looking for knowledge. The Jews are always looking for a sign. It is not in so many of these things, but it is in what I have decreed. Paul tells Titus and tells Timothy, avoid vainless talk, avoid chatter, avoid, this godless chatter, because in the multitude of words, there lacks no sin. They lead away from the truth. We don't walk by what people say. We don't walk by wisdom of men. We walk by what God says. Not by philosophy, not by good ideas, not what Westminster says, not what White House say, not what the United Nations decree. We walk by what God says. So God's prescription for your success, for my success in my life, my success in marriage, my success in ministry, my success in business, is his word. Because his word is active. Praise the name of the Lord. Psalms 19, as I come to close. Psalms 19, verse 9 through to verse 11. Some very important words here. The Bible says, Psalms 19, and I'm reading from the Berean Study Bible. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Last week, we preempted and we said, when you talk about the law of the Lord, we're not talking about the law of Moses. We are talking about the word of God. So the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Verse 9, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, being altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. And I love verse number 11. Verse number 11 is my punchline. It says, by them indeed your servant is warned. In keeping them is great reward. In keeping the law of the Lord, there is great reward. It may not look like it right now, but I decree by the word of God, there is a great reward for you in Jesus' name. You may not look like you have it all together, but I'm saying that when you keep the word of God, the Bible says there is a great reward. There is a great reward in heaven for you. But the Bible says Jesus said with his mouth, double in this life and in eternal life in life to come. So may the Lord reward you in your area of obedience to his word. Let me repeat that. May the Lord reward you in your area of obedience to his word. You cannot be going out every Saturday to witness without a reward. May the Lord reward you in your obedience in witnessing. May the Lord reward you in your obedience in interceding. May the Lord reward you in your obedience in waiting faithfully for him. May the Lord reward you in your obedience in giving even your money. May the Lord reward you in your area of obedience. Then someone, the Bible says, and this is my last verse, the Bible says, blessed, and I'm reading from the Amplified, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, the Bible here is talking about some certain postures as a symbol of how we do life. He says, so he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, because the counsel of the wicked is what we get on TikTok. There are people, there are believers who spend more time on TikTok than they do with their Bibles. Today, in the name of Jesus, we are redirecting you back to the word of God. Amen. I speak as a servant of God. May you lose appetite for social media. Amen. Social media is a time hogger. You know, back in the day, I used to play a game called Angry Birds. And then Angry Birds came to an end. Then we went to Candy Crush. And now there's another one called something Royal Rescue. I can't remember what it's called now. And these things hog time. But the Bible says that is the counsel of the wicked. When you see people who are not speaking godly counsel, when you interact with media and news items and things that are not speaking the counsel of God, the Bible calls it the counsel of the wicked. So the Bible says, blessed, prospered, favored by God is the man who does not walk in that counsel of the wicked. Number two, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, those people who are just ridiculing, you know, the things of God. Verse number two, what does he do? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you love EastEnders? How much time do you spend on EastEnders? Corey? Oh, but hey, I'm not trying to suggest that watching TV is bad. No. I do watch television. My wife watches television. I like a good old movie. I'll go to the Cineworld once in a while and catch a good film. But what I'm trying to say is there are some things that we spend our time with instead of delighting ourselves in the counsel of God. And those things do not bring us life. In any case, they add to us a lot of stress. I know I'm not qualified to talk about mental stuff here because I'm not an authority in that area. But a while back, when I observed my students at college after a full year of doing a research with them, I wrote a paper that social media is making, especially 16 to 19-year-olds, suffer a lot of mental health stress. Because they want to come to college in what they call bougie. I don't know what bougie means. Bougie. They want Gucci. Not Gucci. What? They want Adidas. They want Nike. They want Jordans. They want this and that. There's a girl one time in my class who told me that her attire, what she was wearing that day, was close to 500 pounds. and she's a student teaching, I mean, sitting in class. And I was like, what I put on that day was less than 100 pounds from head to toe. And here is my student, 500 pounds. And she has to do that, because if she doesn't do that, she will not fit in. They've got the latest iPhones. And this is the sad story. Many of them don't even work. It is the pocket money they get from their parents. And so on and so forth. So we delight ourselves in things that are not the counsel of God. Verse number 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. May the Lord help us to meditate on his word. God does not want you successful in some things. God wants you successful in all areas. The good apostle John writes that, well, brethren, I pray that you may prosper even as your soul prospers. That you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, God wants holistic success for us. You missed a good place to say amen again. So therefore then, what shall we conclude in terms of this particular teaching for today? That two things. God says, let the words of this book be in your heart and in your lips, on your lips. In your heart means that you meditate upon it day and night. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. When you supersaturate yourself with the word of God, even when you're walking barefoot in your house and your little toe catches the corner of your table or the settee, before you can bring out on a very unprintable word, the word of God comes out. Because that is what is in you. When someone is walking along the streets and they shove you, or when some funny driver drives past you during winter and splashes or whatever they splash on you, before you can tell them what is in your mind, the word of God comes out. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. That's what the Bible says. If I would have anybody here today decide to do something, is that I will read the word of God. I will meditate on the word of God. I will talk about the word of God. The Bible says, number 2, let the word of God never depart from your lips. Bless and do not curse. So when you speak as words that are seasoned, that are graceful, that give life. The Bible says that out of the flesh comes death, but out of the spirit comes life. Speak life. There are some people, somebody told me there are some people, the way they speak, if they spoke to a flower, it would wither and die. Because of how toxic their words are. They enter into a room and the moment they speak, they zap off all the energy. May the Lord help us to be life givers, to be solution givers. The Bible talks about a guy called Ezekiel. And one day Ezekiel went to a valley that was full of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. The Bible says, and God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, O Lord, thou knowest. Then God said to him, prophesy. Speak life to the bones. And the Bible says he began to prophesy. We are not told what he was saying, but the Bible says, as I was prophesying, as he was speaking the word of God, there began to be some movement. Their skeletons came back together. The femur located the tibia and fibula. I know some bones. The bones of the hands located each other. The rib cage and the sternum came together. The backbone came to its right place. The skull located the other part of the body. The fingers, they came together. The Bible says, as I was prophesying, the bones came back together. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no point in us cursing the darkness. Just speak the light. There is no need for us to just moan and cry and say these bones are very dry. That's a fact. The Bible says the bones were dry, very dry. Just speak the word. Prophesy. Prophesy. I speak life. I speak abundance. I speak breakthroughs. I speak healing. I speak restoration. I speak uplifting. The Bible's in the book of Job, when men are saying there is a casting down, you shall say there is a lifting up. I don't walk by what the economists say. Keir Starmer and his government can come with whatever budget they want to come with. I walk by what the heaven says. I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. My prosperity is not dependent on the Conservatives or the Labour government budget. It is based on what the Word of God says. I walk by faith, prophesy, speak life. You know, one time, my last testimony as I finish, my wife had been prophesying, was speaking out some words to my son when he was a toddler. And for some reason, whatever was happening in his life was not what she was confessing. And she was always saying that my son is a leader and not a follower. You are a leader and not a follower. You are a leader and not a follower. Contrary to what she was saying, my son was always a follower. He would identify who's the boss in this place and then he would kind of like follow them. And then one day we went for a parents' evening at his nursery and the very same words that this teacher spoke were, your son is a follower and not a leader. Yet my wife says every morning, you are a leader and not a follower. And we intercepted those words. I am not from Nigeria, but I like what Nigerians say. We returned it back to sender. We intercepted those words. We say no. We will keep saying it. You are a leader. You are not a follower. You are above and not beneath. You are at the top. You are the first and not the last. You will remain standing where many have fallen. And it was just a matter of time. And today all his reports come back. He is a leader. He is an opinion shaper. All the kids gravitate towards him now. Head teacher commendation, bronze award, silver award, gold award. Why? Because the words we spoke are coming to being. Can you speak some words to your life today? Can you speak some words to your family today? Can you speak some words to Crowley today? That is the season we are in right now. Father God, I thank you. Because as you gave it to me, I have given it to your people. I thank you for this new season that we are entering in now, O Lord. A season to walk in obedience. A season to believe your word. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I feel so strongly in my spirit. I want to arrest and nullify and cancel every word that has been spoken over our lives that is contrary to your word. I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. When Jacob decreed that Reuben shall die because Reuben dishonored him and in anger he said, you shall die. Moses comes into the scene and he looks at how Reuben is diminished and he reversed those words. He said, Reuben shall live and not die. God, I cancel every word of discouragement spoken to somebody here. Every word of impossibility, I cancel it now. Every report of men that is antithetical to your finished work on the cross, I cancel it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare the Zoe life of God. I create anew what men have killed in the name of Jesus. Where men have disempowered, today we speak empowerment in Jesus' name. Where men have brought a full stop, oh God, we create a new beginning in the name of Jesus. With God, all things are possible. My God, we rebuke diagnosis, oh God, impossible and incurable conditions. We speak the life of God right now. We speak to every sick body, be healed in Jesus' name. Father, some people are living at the end of the tether. We speak a new lease of life, oh God. Some people are afraid of being auctioned. They are in debt, oh God. Create a miracle in the name of Jesus. You are able to make rivers in the desert, oh God. You are able to create a new, do something new today that they may glorify your name in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for every person who's feeling fearful, feeling frightened and timid in their spirit. We choose to believe your word that you will uphold us with your victorious right hand. Lord, let them be assured of you holding them. in the name of Jesus. Not only God, are you upholding us with your hand. The Bible says that you will hold our right hand. Hold somebody today, God, and lead them to a place of safety. I feel so strongly in my spirit the words of God saying that you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. The Bible says no one runs to him is ashamed. I nullify any situation that is likely to create shame to anybody here today. In the name of Jesus. Father God, there shall be no shame to your children. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your name. I pray for every person. If you have a need, whatever kind of a need it is, just lift a hand of faith unto God, even as you believe for your miracle. Right now, Jehovah God, I thank you for each and every hand lifted up, O God. Not unto man, but unto you. You who is able to see the secret places, O God. You are able to enter to the darkest of the situations, my Father. I pray in accordance with your faith, Lord, and for your glory, do it unto them in the name of Jesus. Let there be miracles, let there be signs, let there be wonders. Let there be signs of breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Whoever is trusting you, God, for breakthrough, O God, we speak a breakthrough, we speak an open door, we speak healing, we speak reconciliations, we speak restoration in the name of Jesus. We speak divine reversals in the name of Jesus. We speak salvation to members of the families in Jesus' name. We speak jobs and new jobs in Jesus' mighty name. We speak businesses. We speak flourishing in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Mother God, I pray for those who are trusting you for a fresh anointing. Let there be a fresh anointing, O God. Let there be visions. Let there be anointed breakthroughs, O God, as people even believe you, God. May they walk in your power in the name of Jesus. I declare them blessed, O God, and they that you have blessed, no man can curse. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.